And the National Party has raised the possibility New Zealand could have avoided the Suheira Aden situation if it had adopted Australia's law that strips terror suspects of citizenship. Aden, who has links with ISIS, was born in New Zealand but moved to Australia when she was six and flew to Syria on an Australian passport in 2014. The case became New Zealand's responsibility after Australia stripped Aden of her citizenship. With us now is National Party leader Judith Collins. Kia ora.
Oh, good morning, Susie.
On this situation, would you like to see New Zealand seriously consider adopting a law similar to the one in Australia?
Well, I think it is certainly worthy of consideration whether or not we would ultimately go there. It's something that we've looked at before. And chosen not to. It's very difficult when you've got someone actually born here as opposed to someone who has received citizenship from New Zealand. So I think that there are two different situations there. Certainly the Aden situation is extremely unfortunate for New Zealand that we've been left to pick up the pieces after Australia basically poked us in the eye.
But we don't discriminate on whether there are two different tiers of New Zealand citizenship. Is that part of what you think we should be considering? Whether you're born here, that makes you, what, more of a Kiwi?
I think it is something we should actually have a conversation with New Zealanders about what we're prepared to accept when we give people citizenship as a country. And I put aside those who are born here, it's very hard to deal with that one. But when you're talking about being actually loyal to our country, signing up to being loyal to our country, and you end up having someone who joins a death cult that is absolutely dedicated to the destruction of your country, I think that is something that a lot of New Zealanders would want to at least consider and at least know that their senior politicians are thinking about that.
Mm. What about children, though, who perhaps move here when they're very young and become citizens at a young age, before the age of 18? How would that necessarily work? Because you're not in a position as a child to pledge allegiance really to any country, are you?
Well, that's why it's worthy of consideration. And I think it's one of those conversations that New Zealanders want to be able to debate these issues. And they do want the government to think about them. Whether or not that would ultimately be the end result, I think it is worthy of New Zealanders being part of that debate.
If we explore this a bit further and using the case of Suheira Aden, practically, when would you anticipate a law like this being activated? Would it be at the point of departure, for example, to join a terrorist group?
Well, I think you're getting a little ahead of this one. It has simply been raised as a possibility by Gerry Brownlee, our Foreign Affairs spokesperson. It is certainly one that I think is worthy of us thinking about, and whether or not how that would work, and also just who it would work for. But I do
believe... But again, this is important, though, because, well, of course, she's gone overseas. She is a New Zealand citizen. She's had two children. And my understanding is that the children, even if they're born outside the country, children of New Zealanders are, by right of descent, New Zealanders themselves. So if she was stripped of her citizenship earlier, before she had the children, then they wouldn't be. So this is why it's materially interesting.
Well, that's why it's worthy of deep and thoughtful consideration rather than making it up on the hoof, which I'm not prepared to do. I think it is very important that we consider all those ramifications.
But what is your sense on this? I mean, this is something the National Party raised yesterday. So where are you landing on that at the moment?
Well, I think we feel very sorry for these children. I think that's... I can't imagine much worse for these children that they've been born and brought up in a death cult where who knows what they have seen or been forced to take part in. They have a mother who chose to leave Australia to go and be part of this death cult, to be a jihadi bride. She's done that now three times, and she's, about 25, 26, something like that, and she's been married three times to lots of Islamic jihadists. Now, that is hardly a great upbringing or start in life for children. New Zealand has to now pick up the pieces because Australia basically poked us in the eye and left us to deal with this. She was not radicalised in New Zealand any more than the mosque shooter was radicalised in New Zealand, and we are now going to have to pick up the pieces. It is really deeply unfortunate, but New Zealand will do our best for those kids.
But if we are in a position of now thinking that perhaps Australia's law is not a bad one to consider, doesn't that mean that New Zealand would then be effectively abdicating its responsibility in this situation and leaving people to be the responsibility of yet another country?
Well, they need to take some personal responsibility, don't they? I mean, this is a person who chose to leave Australia, leave the country that had brought her
but
up
if we,
and educated
but, yeah,
her,
but
and
if,
she's chosen to do that.
If we follow New Zealand, if we follow Australia's lead on this, that effectively makes our decision as bad as theirs, isn't it?
I'm not saying that their decision is clearly one that they've made for the benefit of Australia. New Zealand also has to think about our position as a country and for New Zealanders and what the ramifications are. It is absolutely worthy of debate. Whether or not we would end up in that position is another matter, which is why I'm saying, Susie, don't get ahead of the debate. It is important to have the debate and not shut down debate just because it's uncomfortable.
Quick note about the wallabies coming over. Has the government made the right call on that?
Well, they can't really say otherwise when they let the wiggles in, can they? I mean, they've got the wallabies actually live within a pretty much a bubble anyway. And the big issue here is if we had vaccination rates where they should be, rather than only about 10% of the population, if Australia had its vaccination rates where it should be, we wouldn't even be probably having this discussion.
Appreciate your time. Judith Collins, leader of the National Party.